This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. Jeffrey, it's the last day. Is this the last day of February, right? Am I correct? Yeah, this is the last day of February. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Didn't we just come back from our little holiday break over the New Year's?
I do feel like you blinked and February was over.
This has been preposterous. 2 months already flying by like this? We're done with February? That does mean we're into March, though.
It's a good thing, though. We're coming up on some pretty awesome times.
And this
on the calendar.
Week has been a delight in terms of the weather. You've been out there sauntering around,
oh, yeah.
Soaking it up, so that's been lovely. Anyway, happy last day of February, everybody. However you choose to celebrate, we have a busy show today because today's the day. It's Friday. That means Chris Harrington's straight up at 10 o'clock. Also means Jason Smith's going to join us in the next segment. And then, beyond that, it's us. We have so much to talk about before I get to any of the world stuff in the world of sports, Jeffrey. Do you have any Gene Hackman theories? And is it disrespectful for us to be playing this parlor game of Clue with Gene Hackman, right? It's so ghoulish to be focused on. And it does. It seems like a little – it feels like we're trivializing the death of – honestly, like a 95-year-old Gene Hackman's not so tragic, but then a 64-year-old wife and the dog and everything else. It seems like even to engage in this – speculation as if it's some sort of a parlor game can strike me as what are we doing here? But we're all doing it, right? We're all doing it. So yesterday when the news broke, we thought Gene Hackman, carbon monoxide. That would make sense. He, his dog, his wife, right? That would make sense. Then we hear the news, and I'll give you the ghoulish details. The wife died in like the front. No, he died. He looked like he'd fallen in the front entryway or somewhere.
Right.
She was in the bathroom.
Yep.
Pills scattered.
A bathroom closet, I believe.
She was in the closet. The dog was in the closet.
I think it said the dog was 10 to 15 feet away. Maybe that's what it was.
And a space heater had fallen as well. And they were decomposed. And indeed she was. And I hope you all have finished breakfast, probably by 9, most have. She was mummified, partially mummified. So, Jeffrey, what are your theories?
So, I agree with Mark. Mark and I were texting. I think he put it on Twitter last night.
Of course he did, yes. Mark must miss having a radio show. It can be a pain. It's a daily a mistress. Like, you have to be here every day and whatever else. But then you get, I don't think in his new job for Gannett, where he's, what's he do?
So he is.
Trending.
Well, he's more, he's on a team.
Enterprise.
He's on a team that I can't recall, but like basically he's like the college basketball, NBA, and like secondary college football.
You don't get to speculate about Gene Hackman,
correct?
On the for, when within that, I don't. I didn't hear nothing about idle speculation about celebrity deaths in that job description.
Correct.
I heard nothing about that. People don't realize, like, it has been so fun over the past 30 years now to have my job because you're part of a community. You know, you there's it's. Once upon a time, I wanted to, back when Sports Illustrated was the thing, I wanted to work for Sports Illustrated, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, even before it met its demise, that Sports Illustrated wasn't, you know, you didn't, if you wrote for Sports Illustrated, you didn't meet people at the grocery store who would disagree with you or agree with you or talk to you like whatever else.
Sure.
This has just been a blast, honestly.
You're in the mix.
You're in the mix here. And you know, we're all, you're part of a community, you know? We get to open the coal lines and figure out if the sky has fallen or not. Anyway, so what was his theory that he posted? He was forced to post on X because
no.
he doesn't have a radio outlet? What was it?
His, I was trying to find exactly what he said, but basically we decided we're good. We don't really want to find out.
Oh, you
out.
Don't want to know.
Yeah.
You have no
yeah.
theory.
We're,
that was the theory.
Well, it's like
we're
the more, it's like every time you read some new detail, you're
was
just
it
like,
when you got to the word mummified that you
that
stopped?
That was when we checked out. Yep. When it was partially mummified.
Well, maybe we don't need to know.
Like, we checked out.
We clearly
I
don't
wanna be
need
very clear.
To know.
I am not pointing the finger at anyone that's going and trying to do, like, internet Sherlock. I'm not saying I'm better than you. I just said,
here's
personally
the thing, though,
just
there's
decided
a whole,
we're
there's
good.
A whole industry of podcasts about murder cases, tragedies, and whatever else that we don't need to know anything about. It does not advance anything in terms of our general intellectual appreciation of life except for our prurient interest, I think that's the word, although maybe that has to only to do with sex and stuff. Anyway, in what happened. It's sort of a it began with the Serial podcast, it felt like. Remember
that
the
was,
Serial
that was
podcast?
Certainly
and it
first,
launched
like,
the whole industry. Of course, before that, there was you know, newspapers did this way back, you know, whatever. Jack the Ripper, they speculated on who that was.
So this is Dateline, you 48
hours. This is an age-old game, murder mysteries. It's murder mysteries.
We call it murder porn, but yeah, keep going.
Yeah, murder porn. And so now you've decided you don't need to know.
Yeah, I'm good. And I hope everyone out there that does want to seek out and do all that, have at it.
We won't.
I'm good.
I'll say this. I don't think we will know. Well, will we ever know? And here's what I think. I don't believe it'll be anytime soon. Because now they're going to dig in and do the reports and whatever else. I don't think it'll be anytime soon. And when we do learn more, it'll be more like at least a month from now. And TMZ will report it.
I can buy that. I mean, the reason we got the police report was TMZ got it.
Right. TMZ got the police report. So, anyway, I was struck by, apart from the mystery of it all, the sort of sadness of, well, two observations. One is, it just couldn't have been a suicide pact. Because if you were doing a suicide pact, and Claire and I discussed this, you know, amongst ourselves, and, you know, if we wanted to ever have a suicide pact, you'd be together, right? You'd do the suicide. Not you go
I'm
into
not,
that
I'm
room.
A, I'm not an
I
expert in suicide
room,
packs, but
we do it together.
That seems like it checks out, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd snuggled up together, right? Whatever. Aha. Like that. Not one person over here and one person over here, and then the poor dog is not part of the pact anyway. The dog can't sign on for that, right?
Well, and they had multiple dogs.
Yeah, some survived, some died. This is just not. It wasn't a suicide pact. But then the thing that struck me was, I kind of thought it was just sad that no one checked on him. Like, he's got a daughter, and they have presumably friends, and here's the truth, lots of money, right? Wouldn't anyone have checked on him for weeks before they became decomposed / mummified?
I mean, to me, the real question
that's
is
a
like
a sad thing. If I died, I would hope someone would notice in 2 or 3 weeks. Jeffrey, I would want you to show up and say, something's different about this show. I can't quite put my finger on it, but there's something different about this show. Better go off. I mean, I'm not. My house isn't even that far.
Right, but
so
you would notice.
You could show up and make sure I'm not dead on the floor.
Okay, but the problem is, so, for instance, if you showed up 3 minutes late, I'm not panicked. But if I can't get a hold of you,
then you would hopefully check.
Right. Exactly.
I'd
say there's a decent chance I would.
if it went on for a couple days, 3 days, maybe you'd tell Brad.
Well, I mean, I am a fantastic coattail rider, and I do enjoy hopping right on yours.
You also carry the show very well, so mm-hmm. you wouldn't have to do anything
I
for
think
a while. You've been known to carry the show on your own.
Even if I got this show on the air, I think by 11:15, I'd at least knock on the door.
That brings a tear to my eye.
Yeah. I can give you a couple hours.
Anyway, we got other mysteries later on in the show that we have to get to the bottom of, Jeffrey.
Well, I will say this, though. Like, to me, a key question is how long had they been dead? Because
it feels like it's weeks.
Well, like, I think about it in these terms. It's like, if I go, like, 2 days, like, what if, like, you go 2 days without talking to your mom or dad, like.
That you would think. And his daughter said we were close. And I hate to say it. Like, I'm not going to judge. Well, I don't know. It's their relationship. It's their relationship. She hadn't talked to him in months. That's not close. That's what she said. His daughter said we were close.
But then I started thinking.
But they also said he's a little bit of a recluse. So maybe it's his choice that other people aren't reaching out.
I mean, when you retire from Hollywood, like, let's
maybe
be clear.
Maybe you just want to be left alone.
Well, like, let's be clear. Usually when people retire that are famous, it's usually like Stephen King announcing he's leaving Twitter for the 17th time only to come back. Like, right. It's an intention signal. This guy literally said, I'm done. He did Welcome to Mooseport
Mexico.
And never heard from him again.
Did you ever see Welcome to Mooseport?
I've not seen Welcome to Mooseport. But yeah. I'll say what was also annoying. Like, last night I would have figured, like, I was scrolling through all the channels that would have had movies on.
They didn't?
Nothing. Like, I would have thought someone would at least try to, like, shamelessly capitalize. Here's a Gene Hackman marathon.
I actually have thought I should go. I want to listen back to our podcast from yesterday. You can do that, by the way, people, to hear what, because Chris Harrington went through about 12 Gene Hackman movies that you should watch for one reason or another, films that you should watch for one reason or another. So, but I did want to find French Connection, which I've never watched. And so it's got to be out there somewhere. Anyway, enough of that. We have other mysteries this week, that we have to. Get to the bottom of, including the Mary-Kate Cornett mystery.
Mm.
That's something. Including the, James Pierce is a bit of a mystery. I'll get into that.
Okay.
James Pierce, the edge rusher from Tennessee. We'll get into that a little bit later. Shedeur Sanders, a little bit of a mystery. There's a little mystery around Shedeur Sanders and some other mysteries that we're going to have to clear up later on in the show. But this is a sneaky big weekend for Memphis sports, starting tonight with the Knicks in town, is it not?
Indeed. I agree with you.
In fact, as we come rolling into the last day of February and heading into March, I noticed this last night. We got scoreboard watching.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in earnest, not, you don't even have to pretend. It doesn't, like, it's not.
No,
fake
it's like natural curiosity. Yeah.
It's like not fake scoreboard watching. It's real. Like, this stuff might matter to the teams that you care most about. Because in the NBA last night, Grizzlies, I don't know if you noticed this, Jeffrey, Grizzlies back in second.
Indeed, they
are. They did nothing last night except for have their MVP celebration where they have season ticket holders. I did hear from season ticket holders who weren't thrilled with the event this year, evidently. And this goes to, it's a dilemma because, and I can't judge it because I wasn't there. It's a dilemma when you have the players available for autographs and pictures and stuff. You know what you're going to get? Long lines at the players.
That's true.
Right? And so I saw lots of complaints of, I stood in a line for 45 minutes and it never moved kind of thing.
Yep.
And then people, where's this weird place? Are people trying to judge whether Ja's happy or not?
Sure.
You know, there's that part of the game is being played, yet another part of the game is being played. But the point is, they didn't have to do anything yesterday except for wait till the Knicks to come to town. And if you looked around, they moved back into second place in the West because the Bucks defeated the Nuggets. We talked about this earlier. People love to rip the Grizzlies because they're not good against good teams. As Chris pointed out, the good teams this year are so good that almost nobody's good against the good teams.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know who's not good against good teams? The Nuggets. You know who else isn't good against good teams? The Knicks. You know who else isn't good against good teams? The Grizzlies. Anyway, the Bucks did the Grizzlies a favor. They defeated the Nuggets 121-117. And so the Grizzlies move back into second place in the West. But don't look now. don't look now, because right behind him, the Los Angeles Lakers beat the T-Wolves. So we got sort of a things we care about. We got kind of a split there. The Lakers beat the T-Wolves. Anthony Edwards gets another two technicals. He's up to 16 now, so he's going to have to sit out tonight against Utah unless one of them
retracted.
Is rescinded. Right, exactly right. So that happened. The standings in the West, the Grizzlies are a half game up on Denver, and they are only a game and a half up on the Lakers and Houston. Then there's a nice gap. Like, I'm quite confident they will finish second, third, fourth, or fifth. Right? They will.
Yes.
They will finish second, third, fourth, or fifth.
Yes.
The Clippers are sixth?
Correct.
Clippers are sixth.
No, no. Fifth. Second. I thought the Rockets.
No. Grizzlies, it's
the Rockets are fifth.
It's the Grizzlies, Denver, the Spurs, and the Rockets. Exactly. The from second to fifth. Second,
correct.
Third, fourth, and fifth.
Yes.
And those teams are within a game and a half of each other.
Yep.
And essentially up for grabs.
Yeah, there's a line after that.
And then there's a line down to the Clippers. There's another three and a half games, something like that, to the Clippers. That's
it. Four and a half, yeah.
That is essentially up for grabs with these teams. And so you got the Knicks coming to town, who put 143 on you last time.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest, punked you.
It was the worst loss of the year.
It was humiliating.
It's the biggest loss of the year. Like, score margin, biggest loss of the year.
And it was also, it looked every bit of it.
It was never competitive.
On a big stage.
They were just getting layup after layup
after
layup.
It was layup after layup after layup. They were absolutely punked. And so you have the Knicks in town tonight, massive game. Honestly, and the Knicks get the same criticism that the Grizzlies do. They had a really good year, and yet in big moments, they get eviscerated. Most recently, against the Cavs and the Celtics, they've been eviscerated. They have Campaign, old friend Campaign,
mm-hmm.
coming back to town. Precious Achiuwa, old friend Precious Achiuwa, coming back to town, and also making his season debut tonight. It appears he's listed as questionable, but expectations are he will make his season debut tonight. Mitchell Robinson, he's on the injury list, questionable, expected to play though. Desmond Bane, also questionable with a groin, Jeffrey. But questionable usually means you play.
Yeah.
Right? So that is a massive game as the Grizzlies are in this totally up-for-grabs situation, second, third, fourth, and fifth. In the meantime, the Memphis Tigers, we got more scoreboard watching because last night UAB beat Wichita State 80-72. North Texas beat Florida Atlantic 71-61. So both of these teams then have 12 wins. The Tigers have 13. Tigers are 13-2 in conference. Those two teams are 12-3 in conference. And the Tigers go to UAB for what will be a revenge match for UAB.
Yeah.
You have to figure in a big way, don't you think?
Oh, I mean, they're already making the push online to get it to be a sellout again.
Totally cranked. It will be totally cranked. Atmosphere through the roof. Now, the good news is, honestly, because the way the tiebreakers break, the Tigers are going to be the number one seed. They have the tiebreaker against North Texas because they beat them.
Right, and they're only playing once.
They have the tiebreaker against UAB because, for some reason, of the East Carolina game, don't know why in the world of tiebreakers that's the one that matters, but there you go. And I gather with the three-team tiebreaker, they also. So my understanding is, from the experts, that the Tigers would have to really lose two games not to be the number one seed, right? So I don't know that you can call this a conference championship game of de facto, but let's be honest, Jeffrey. Be a hell of a lot more satisfying to win the conference outright by taking care of UAB yet again And by the way, you then won't be damaging, of course, your NCAA tournament resume, which is really, I hate to say it, the most important thing here.
Yeah, and also that would mean against the two closest competitors, you'd be 3-0.
Does the fact, interesting sort of thing though, does the fact that we know it's going to be cranked, we know the atmosphere is going to be fevered, does that give you more confidence in Memphis? In other words, like it seems like the real peril for Memphis in conference games is complacency and disinterest, right? And in the circumstances where they are locked in, they seem to take care of business, whether it was starting with when we saw that when they took care of FAU the first time, right?
Yep.
Like, and so then when they took care of UAB at home, like they demolished them. Like there was no doubt. So does the fact that we know the atmosphere is going to be cranked and the UAB is going to be, you know, locked in, does that in fact give you more confidence that Memphis is going to win this game?
Yeah, I think that that's probably, I feel like weirdly they've played better on the road, and maybe there's something to that. I think the other aspect of this is the Dane Danger, Yaxel Lindenborg budding rivalry that we've seen like over basically
100%
3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it was.
It's personal.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think, by the way, there's this new theory and that the Tigers will go as far as Dane Danger will carry them?
So we talked about that yesterday. I still.
Oh, by the way. Well, I'm interrupting you. My apologies.
It's your show.
But I do that a lot, yep. And I acknowledge
that's
it.
That's fine.
I was driving around yesterday, and I know you had Cobb on.
Mm-hmm.
And you teased that he had access to some database.
Yep.
That was going to reveal. I got the sense that you were saying it was going to reveal the inside of why the Tigers are getting treated the way they're getting mm-hmm. treated. Is that what did you what so was because I then had to stop my car and get out and go to an interview and I missed what you all said.
So Cobb has access to Synergy Sports, which is the big database for all hoop heads out there. So as it pertains to the PJ Haggerty officiating, Cobb's theory was the officials that we had on Wednesday night, it was their third time having Memphis. And his theory is that when you have officials that have had Memphis before.
Yeah, got me on the flopping once, but now I see what you're doing.
Correct. So
you're not going to get me again. I'm not. Does I look like I was born yesterday?
Correct. Also, I'm with Cobb. I don't know if there was a national directive, but when you compare the amount of fouls that have been called basically once the calendar year turned, somebody sent a memo. We're calling too many fouls. Game's taking too long.
Broadly and, speaking, across
correct,
the country,
across
not
the
related to
right because
PJ
Haggerty. one of the real big complaints, like in November and December, was these games are taking forever, and so we think there's a national directive. All right, let's get the fouls down. But Cobb believes it's when you have officials that have had Memphis before. It's like you said, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you.
That's what he thinks is happening with the...
Yes.
Of course, the truth matters, the other night wasn't the worst. Like, the other night was...
No, I told him that I think this was a carryover frustration from Sunday. Because I...
Oh, clearly, on the part of PJ Haggerty, he was...
I don't think I've seen the stat line from somebody that takes 17 shots, that goes 0-for-0 from 3, and doesn't get to the free throw line. That was a new one for me. And then his other suspicion for why the metrics don't like the Tigers is... Their transition offense is not good. So, therefore, they're not getting the easy baskets that crank your efficiency up.
It is interesting. Where do you come down on? Should what matter be the W's and the L's?
Yes,
or should what matter be, we see you get all these W's, but we don't believe you're that good because the stats don't say you're that good, which is basically what's happening here.
Always on floor. Who'd you beat? Where'd you beat them? And that's what matters the most to me. And I will say this. I think that is what is mattering for the Tigers. I don't think the seeding problem has been a finger point. We don't believe in the Tigers. We're trying to screw the Tigers. they're just in an unfortunate situation.
No, but they are being hurt by the how they won. In addition to the SAC stuff, which you mentioned the other day, they are being hurt by the analytics of how they won as opposed to just who they've beaten.
But they're really not. Like, they're in the same tier as St. Mary's, and St. Mary's is a metric darling. Like, St. Mary's net, I haven't looked this morning, is basically 30 spots ahead of Memphis, and they're on the same seed line. It's really, they are giving Memphis credit for what they've done. The problem is you've just added, the SEC had such an unbelievable out of conference. I mean, the SEC is going to have potentially five of the top eight seeds in the tournament.
Right. The Dane Danger, as far as Dane Danger can carry you.
Listen, I'm glad Dane's playing great, and it's fun to watch. He really is. But what happens in tournament time is it's guard play.
Right. The truth of the matter is, though, what happens in tournament time is it's guard play, but it's everything, too. Like you
not making mistakes. Don't make the critical.
You also look at the Memphis Tigers runs in the past, right?
Sure.
And again, the game has changed. I get that. Whatever. But once upon a time, it was Ronnie Robinson and Larry Keenan were critical. Sure. Larry Finch was a massive part of it, of course. But then you go to... you know, Keith Lee and William Bedford were a massive part of it. And you go, hell, Cal's years, right? They had great. Of course, they were carried by guards. They were carried by Derrick Rose. Let's be honest. They had freaking Joey Dorsey. Like you do need in the end elements of both.
Oh, sure.
Right? Like it's not. And it felt like at the beginning of this season that you just might be. That the five might be a real weakness, right?
Sure.
Like if you had Musa who can't
play offense,
and Danger who was the Danger that he looked like early on the season when he was a turnover machine and disinterested defensively and whatever else, you had nothing. You were like, you know, what are we going to do, Nicholas Jourdain here? Like, what are we doing here? And his emergence has enabled you, it seems to me, and you saw this the other day. You saw this the other night. Like, in the end, he's not going to carry you, but he can help shoulder the load.
Well, right? and
he did in those moments, obviously against Rice, for those minutes, he did carry you.
The question that I have, and honestly the sad part is we won't know until we see a tournament game. Has Dane Danger being reinserted into the starting lineup with clearly a different attitude, has that been what's fixed the rebounding? Or is it just getting into conference play where,
right? You're just better. All right, there you go. See, Florida cleared Todd Golden. Did that happen a while ago?
I
was reading about it because they played. Tennessee
maybe they made it official, but I think that happened a few weeks ago.
All right, we're gonna take a break. We're going to talk to Jason Smith when we return. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Then we do have a lot of other things to get into, including what happened yesterday at the NFL Combine. Today, I think the quarterbacks talk, right, at the NFL Combine?
Cam and Shador have already spoken, or they did the standoff of who.
And what'd they say? Do we have any?
I hope you're sitting down for this, Jeff. Neither are going to work out at the Combine. They're going to let the tape speak for
itself. Are they both happy to play anywhere? Do you know that?
We'll tell you after the break.
You see, Shador Sanders was yesterday. Oh, this was curious. This is one of the mysteries I was going to solve later. He was walking around, and attached to his backpack were three caps. A Browns cap, a Saints cap, and a Vikings cap. Well, the Vikings cap makes no sense whatsoever. They picked 24th, and they've got J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
Like, why has he got a Vikings cap?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Saints cap? You can imagine it making some sense. I don't think he imagined sliding to 9. Because they've said they're going to stick with Derek Carr.
But unless there's the feeling that they'll move up. You stick with Derek Carr this year, and then you're ready to turn it over to Shador.
Browns cap makes sense.
Yes. I mean, and he's also said that's all he plays with on Madden.
And it's all he's Deshaun Watson?
That's a great question. Maybe he's playing with Jameis. I would hope he's playing with Jameis.
If you are looking for a new financial institution, Leaders Credit Union is where we looked. When Claire moved to town, her sons moved to town, she asked me, we got to set up a bank account. Where should we go? Leaders Credit Union. Why Leaders? Oh, because here's the thing. You're a member at Leaders. You're not just a customer. And so every dollar gets plowed right back into better technology, better rates, better service, all of that. That has been my experience at Leaders. Absolutely terrific. You can check them out for yourself. They've got, you download the app, sign up that way. Away you go. Or they got a Bartlett branch, and they have a brand new branch in Arlington. Leaders Credit Union, leaderscu.com/ESPN. Jason Smith on the other side, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take a vacation from your bills, pay off credit cards, and save thousands of dollars after a simple phone call to Golden Oak Lending. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Jason Smith. Jason and John every single day from 11 until 2. So, Jason, massive game for the Memphis Tigers at UAB Sunday. How many years were you the Memphis Tigers beat writer at the CA?
6.
6 years. Did you go to UAB each of those 6 years? Was UAB, because they've been in and out, right? They've not been always a part of this, I don't think. Like,
Back then, we were going to every game.
Yeah. UAB was always in the conference, though. We've always had UAB in the conference. And so what are your experiences there?
Birmingham, Mark Weber, who you know well, worked at the CA back in those days, photojournalist, and I think now is still at the
he's there.
Kind of semi-retired, right? He don't work nearly, from what I gather as a neutral media observer, he doesn't work nearly as hard as he used to. That's a good thing. That's the way it's supposed to work. Because he's so fantastic, at this point. You're getting more bang for your buck for old Mark. But no, man, he had lived there, long story short. And so my favorite part of the trips to Birmingham was the, because we weren't, it wasn't the Cal days. It wasn't nearly as intense. I was talking about this with Jeffrey yesterday, is when Pierre was slapping folks down there.
Right.
But the food was great because Mark knew all the spots, and that was the one thing I sort of enjoyed in terms of my beat writer days. It was sort of a hidden perk, is that I had a guy who had been on the beat with Walken before me, who had done all the trips. And a large part of us, man, was Mark saying, "Yeah, we're going to cover the game, but I'm going to take you to this. I'm going to take you to this soup spot in Birmingham, or I'm going to take you to this pasta place, or whatever." Because he had been to so many of these places, especially the ones that were in conference. When we went to, what was it, Greenville in East Carolina, he knew a Greek place. You know, I don't know a dang thing about Greenville. There's nothing there except ECU, and that was something to always look forward to, even when you had bad opponents. This is different. It's a big game. Environment should be good, but I didn't get any. There was one year with Wesley Witherspoon still, so I guess it was still early in Josh's.
Yeah,
it was still early in those first couple of years where I want to say the crowd had thrown some things at the Tigers on the way out, and they had made it clear to UAB, look, you got to get this. You know, this can't happen. That atmosphere can get a little intense down there. And I told Jeffrey yesterday, I imagine it will be to some degree because you are the one ranked team in this conference that comes through there, not to mention you whooped them by, 23 at your place. And so it should be a pretty good basketball environment and what, you know, we thought before the season would be the two best teams in the league.
Before I get back to basketball, did he take you to Dreamland? And what are your thoughts on Dreamland? Have you been to Dreamland?
I've not been to Dreamland.
Jeffrey, have you been to Dreamland? Because I was disappointed.
I have.
Is it the barbecue?
It's their barbecue place. It's their famous barbecue place.
And
I
don't
think it was good, but
right?
I don't remember thinking like
it was spectacular.
Like I have to go. Like I was not. My cousins and aunt and uncle live in Birmingham. It wasn't like that. I have to get back to Birmingham to go to Dreamland.
Yeah, I actually kind of like Birmingham. I have no, and they have some very good restaurants in Birmingham. So I'm kind of a fan.
Yeah.
You know, back when I was in Anniston, I would be
the food. Food's kind of underrated. It was good there.
In terms of this game, I don't know how big is it. Is it only big because there are no really big games, and so it's like this doesn't compare to the Houston games of days of yore of recent years before Houston took off out of the conference. But I guess it's just the biggest we got.
I mean, it's going to represent pretty much locking down Penny's first regular season AAC title.
Right.
I mean, there's all kinds of basic things that absolutely still matter because they haven't been done. You know, Penny's won that AAC tournament, but to this point, he hasn't won a regular season title. You weren't picked to win it. The team that you're playing was. And so for all those reasons, you want to go down there and make a statement. But more importantly, just not, you know, whether it's UAB or these last, the two after that, it's finishing this thing sort of, you know, the way you finish that Rice game, you know, after the, you know, past the two-minute mark. I mean, it's just putting these teams away. And I would put UAB still in that category, even though them and North Texas are a cut above, because none of them are tournament teams. And so ultimately it's just about, man, if you come out of there with a 2-point win, you'll take that. It doesn't have to be some beatdown just because you know what a loss can do to you in terms of your resume, man. We know how in terms of penalizing you, how costly these losses are. And so now go get your AAC, you know, title. That's what this, represents for the most part. And I guess, bring this all back full circle in terms of, I remember when UAB was picked, some people had a problem with it. You know, but Memphis is more talented. You know, finish this thing off and take that momentum into the AAC tournament. I wish I could tell you something more poetic than that, Jeff, but that's about all I got, bro. Just go down there and win the damn thing and get Penny's first AAC title. I mean, that's essentially what you wrap up.
I think, and you're right, I think that's significant. And it's absolutely, given where we started, given, you know, after the firings and, you know, 2 weeks before the season began, after everything else, to have had that season and to go down and do that at UAB, sweeping them.
Business. Yeah. You needed a season like this.
It's really,
especially after last year.
It's really impressive. And so
hopefully it can be more, though, right? That's what it feels like. You've set up with what you've done in the non-conference and only losing two conference games, that you can earn yourself a seed where you can do more than just meet that expectation of leveling things out, get back to the tournament. You know, we can trust in you again, Penny. Feels like there's so much more to get, though, because of what you guys talked about, the guard play, the fact that you got what feels like a relatively consistent inside presence now in Dane. It's sort of like Tigers. We said it's not different. We're not talking expectations, but there was an opportunity to see something greater than just a conference title. Now, remember this. We said it could quite possibly be out of your control, and it would have been, you know, Boise State with the season they had. But the point was, there's more to get if you can. Let's try to seize everything you can. Maximize the year that you have, and hopefully Penny can do that by winning the AAC tournament, obviously finishing out the regular season. But then, yeah, man, staying out of that 8-9 and getting to a second weekend. It's that kind of season that can really, you feel like, plug folks back in and get people recharged about where this thing's going.
All right. I fill in the blank. I need you to pick a name where I say blank. Okay. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
As blank goes, so go the Tigers.
Yeah. I love the take that it's Dane, because lately he's been one of the best college basketball players in America. This stretch essentially where Penny's put him back in as a starter, take away the Wichita State, which we know he played himself out of. And there was one other one in there where he didn't perform well, but the ones where he's been on the floor and played all the way through, he's been as good as anybody. John was comparing him to Jani Broome and Cooper Flagg's numbers. They're better from Hollinger's efficiency standpoint than those guys. And so, yes, I understand the sentiment, and I fully subscribe to, look, it can't just be about guard play in the tournament. You do that, you have a 2 of 13 like you just did in this last game, you're done. You know, that you could be out just as fast as you were in, just as fast as you could have made a run with hot guys. They don't stay hot typically, not all the time. Shabazz Napier, maybe. I mean, it does happen. But having, you know, and especially with Memphis's history, right? Especially here, we know this. Having a guy like Dane in the half court when things have slowed down, half court used to kill Pastner's teams, the ones I covered on a day. You know, having that element, that dimension, that wrinkle can really help you get through when those shots aren't dropping. Back to the answer, though, the answer is still P.J. Haggerty. Because, I mean, again, if you've got a P.J. Haggerty that's feeling frustrated and is not getting to the foul line, not hitting shots, it's going to be a long night, it feels like, whether Dane Danger's playing well or not. He's the guy. He's the man that's played at an All-American level. You'd like to sort of get this frustration thing figured out with the refs and everything else. You can understand it. But, look, P.J.'s sort of put himself in this boat, too. Because we'd be lying to ourselves here in Memphis if we say he did. I've seen him flailing on some, and he's hitting the guy with his elbow, and those calls weren't happening. That was earlier in the season. I think there has been an overcorrection that's caused, talked about with Jeffrey yesterday, that's got some of these officials now anticipating that he's going to flail and when there is a foul, but they've anticipated, I'm not going to call it here because he does it all the time. Hopefully this balances out. He gets back to a piece, and yeah, man. He takes this thing and leads this thing. And again, when I say it's PJ leading, we know that, you know, they've done this by committee. Tyrese Hunter has been a part of the leadership, but it goes, as far as I'm concerned, still as PJ Haggerty goes.
It's a curious way to phrase the question, because there might be some who might say Colby Rogers, because like he's seems...
I mean, Colby, Tyrese, and somebody in Tyrese and Maui was who took
right.
and put you on his back. It was Tyrese Hunter that had Izzo saying that guy was hitting shots Penny couldn't make. I mean, so it's been different at different parts of the season. But overall, I mean, you're All-American. You know, the guy who's been the most consistent. And my gosh, I mean, look at the numbers that he's put up coming over from Tulsa. You know, if you have to do this, if you want to place it on one guy, and that's what we do. I mean, they go as he goes. You know, he would be the name I'd use. But this thing, they've shown, and that's a quality, you know, certainly. And maybe, you know, even in a shorter rotation, you've got, what, three guys, maybe four with Colby? You know, although, you know, he's sort of been off on of late. He was really good non-conference. But you got three, four guys that can carry you on any given night. That's a good thing to have once you're hitting postseason.
What you were referencing in terms of John Martin's stats, he has a column up, and he points out that since Dane Danger was given the starting job, he has averaged a game score of 14-1. Now, the game score is a Hollinger metric, measures players' production, taking everything into account, whatever. It's a you stuff all these numbers and you get a game score. The higher, the better. And if you remove his worst game as a starter, which is a nice thing to do. I'm not sure that's fair. I'm not sure you're allowed to do
it. It's real convenient.
Yeah, real convenient.
I don't think we did that yesterday.
if basically, he says if you... First, you can't count his games where he didn't start. Then you got to remove his worst games as a starter. His worst games. So that means foul trouble against Rice in the first game.
There was two of them.
And Wichita State, where he played terribly.
Right.
So if you this, it gets a little convenient at this point.
It is.
Let's be honest.
Cherry picking a little bit. Yeah.
But in the games where he was awesome, he was really awesome. He has a game score of 17.5, and that is higher than Cooper Flagg's average. But we don't remove Cooper Flagg's worst games to get his game score.
No, we don't.
Et cetera. But still, they even be in the conversation is, you know,
there's a good coaching story in what Dane is doing too. Not that shouldn't be dismissed in terms of, remember the Wichita State game, he got benched because of defense. And people like me were screaming at the TV, why are you not putting him in now in overtime? Like, I realize Moose is putting up numbers, but they figured you, and Penny kept him out. And if you, again, I say this matters because Dane came, you know, after the next game and said, I blew it. And I said, this week I've been more serious. I watched the film three or four times. I took my defense more seriously and look at the response. That's college basketball coaching right there, 101, where you say, this is what you want your coach to do. Send the message, message received, player is playing better. And so from, I think too, you have to give obviously the majority of the credit to Dane Danger for the response, but there's Penny Hardaway sticking to his guns in a loss, even so to the point where some of us media folks are saying, man, what the hell are you doing? These losses are it dropped your three seed lines, whatever the heck it was. He stuck to his guns there, his principles, and it's paid off in terms of the way Dane's played the last two games.
All right, over to the other team real quick. Grizz Knicks tonight. We know mathematically it's important because you're half game up on Denver and a game and a half up on the Lakers and the Rockets. It feels like psychologically, maybe for the fan base, it's important because of what happened. Where's this one ranked tonight against the Knicks?
Oh, it's up there because as your man Drew Hill of Daily Memphis pointed out, this is a stretch right now where Denver's schedule is a little bit tougher. Not to say that yours is easy. It's still, fourth or whatever, fourth toughest the rest of the way. So you know it's going to turn up. But as it relates to right now, and you talk about this home stand and what you've got now, what over the next 10, 9, how many of those are going to be at home? What is it, just two on the road? You got to take advantage while Denver's going against some better teams. And I don't know about you, but the two seed particularly, we're talking about a Memphis team that I think for the Grizzlies team, that I think for a long time we've said, all right, let's get to the second round. Let's get to the semifinals, conference semifinals, win that first round playoff series. And if you don't, that feels like failure. Based on the two seed, this team's hopefully had 3 or 4 years by the time they're done. So back to the point, I mean, in terms of getting this thing right now, I want the two. If I'm faced up against a Denver in the second round, I want home court because of Denver's experience. And so I really think it's critical right now. Drew told us as much on us with his weekly appearance yesterday. This is a critical stretch because it's at home where you've been good. It lines up tonight against a team that embarrassed you on its home court. While the Knicks have had sort of the same issue as you in beating the elite, they were elite enough to whoop you. And so, again, from that standpoint, individually, Ja, you just like to see, you know, a real response and get to some consistency. Because let's be real, that win over Phoenix was, you know, gosh, you needed it. The win over Orlando, you needed it. But they both could have been losses. And so, you know, getting back to some sort of consistency and doing it against a maybe not one of the two elites in the East, but it's definitely a good team, go a long way in doing that and take care of business tomorrow against San Antonio.
I recall that when a week ago or so I played the Kevin Durant clip from the documentary series about the Olympic teams, that you were a little wondered if it was forced, a little skeptical.
Yep.
You've
yep.
now watched a little of the series yourself. What are your thoughts?
So it is interesting how we do it because I think we did this with Ja and you and I, maybe it was you and I or me and Sane that talked about this. Sometimes you can see that that quote pulled out or even hear it. But if you haven't heard what's before, whatever else, the other part of the audio, it can sort of change our impression of the context of what was said, or at least our perception of that. Clearly here I heard the audio and it sounded to me like Kevin Durant was fake crying. I did go back and watch and had a completely different reaction because what's clear and it's getting toward the end and they're also talking to his mom is I think what Kevin was really moved by and you can tell is where basketball had taken him. You know, what it had taken him from. You could see him and his mom literally in their minds envisioning
where they had come from, how many folks that were there with them didn't make it out of the situation, and Kevin Durant's over in Paris. Kevin Durant, who still feels like he's got his mom by his side through his whole career, on into his 30s now. I mean, he's basically an old man in terms of NBA years. She's been there, and so she's over there as well. And this idea that they're now in Paris, man, for the Olympics, and yeah, and yes, as he said, people come to watch him play basketball, but more importantly, what they've been delivered from, you know, where they could have still been if not for basketball, if not for his mom and everything that she did to get in there, to help get in there. Once they realized this man had a God-given talent and unbelievable in terms of the you know, physical frame that just, you know, makes him such a unicorn. But no, it was that, Jeff. I was. It's one of those things where you flip. And I think, I think we don't have to in sports radio all the time be right.
No, I'm not.
I know you weren't accusing me of that. Yeah. This is where I'm saying, I'm holding my hand up and saying, you know, something I think we've, you know, at least I try to do is maybe more times hold up the no, this, I was wrong. Because with so much of what we hear is, hey, told you so. I know it feels like to me, at least lately, and I hope this is the case, I've spent more time when I'm singling out my takes saying, no, I got this one wrong, guys, because I want to be honest. I want to be genuine. And I feel like, yes, that listening to it there and then watching it, getting the full context, I had a completely different opinion and completely believed the sentiment and that emotion and where it was all coming from when I watched A Court of Gold, which was, by the way, awesome. Yeah.
Thank you, Jason. I'll be listening 11 to 2.
Take care, brother.
Appreciate it. Jason Smith. I really related to Kevin Durant the other day. He was on Draymond's podcast, right? And I don't think it was with Draymond. It was Baron Davis. But he was asked about why he killed the trade, the possible trade to Golden State, right? And the fact that he did it on Draymond's podcast suggests that it wasn't because of necessarily bad blood with Draymond or anything, right? Or whatever. Or maybe that's an overcorrection. What he said was, I didn't want to move. And I can kind of...
It's the Bradley Beal.
I can... Yeah, but yeah. But I can... As someone who... I contemplate moving now.
Moving sucks.
Moving is the worst. Now, I would ask you this, though. Moving's terrible, right? You just did it. How was it?
Awful.
Was it as bad as you remembered?
Awful.
Really?
Yes.
Are you 100% moved now?
100%.
Your wife is probably pretty locked in on getting things set up when you get there, right? She's probably pretty good about it.
And my mom helped a lot.
Okay.
And Black Tie Moving. Shout out to Black Tie Moving.
Is moving bad when you have whatever he's got, $400 million, $600 million, what has he got? I don't know. What's he worth? And so literally all you have to do is say, we're moving to Golden State, and you don't have to lift a finger to either pack anything, unpack anything. Your whole life existed here, and then it will be magically, you snap your fingers, you write the check, and it will be magically transported. Don't you think that would take a bit of the sting out of moving?
Nope. Because
what? You know what? You don't have to set up your new account. You don't have to undo your table.
I'm with you in the
you
sense
don't have
of
to do like that.
You can throw
all
money,
that crap.
You can throw money at the problem, but you still have to do this. You still got to go find a place. You still have to go and sign a bunch of...
What do you have to find?
A new place to live.
Oh, that's... No, someone. First of all, someone else is going to find the place to live for
still
you.
Still got
to
sign a lot of papers.
You do have to.
Then you got to pack up.
I've
like,
even figured out how to auto-sign now.
Correct.
That's something that's been new for me. That's growth. That's personal growth.
You have
me.
The little app, whatever the...
I figured out how to auto-sign.
Yeah, I'm proud of you. Wait till we figure out how to do it on your phone.
We didn't.
No,
mention.
This is Bradley Beal never leaving. I'm telling you, Bradley Beal was an aspirational. I never had the Bradley Beal gene like right. Most every Grizzlies fan did. But in terms of someone I just
you
totally identified
to
with, I was like, that guy's my guy.
We have not, by the way, talked about Steph. And I'll mention it glancingly. We talk about Chris about it as well. Steph with 56 last night, including 12 threes. It is his 45th game with 9 or more threes. 45th game with 9 or more threes. The person who has the second most games with 9 or more threes is Lillard, Dame, and he's got 14. 45 compared to 14. He had 22 in the third quarter. It is his 42nd 20-point quarter.
hit 56 points in 34 minutes.
Nobody goes off like Steph goes off. And then, of course,
56 points on 25 shots,
it's
Jeff.
It's ridiculous. And if you've been paying attention to, like, ESPN, you've heard these stats before, and you've heard this thing about February 27th before, but it is the third time that he has scored at least 45 points on February 27th. There's only two other players who have days in calendar days where they have multiple times exceeded 45 points. There's only two other players. I found this to be hilarious. One is Elgin Baylor. Now, Elgin, is he gone?
I believe so.
I think he is. Within the last year or two. Yeah. February 25th was his day, and he scored
2021, by the way.
Yeah, I remember that was fairly recent. He scored on February 25th. He scored more than 45 points twice. The other player who has has a day, let's be honest, Steph has this one day, February 27th. If you're guarding Steph on February 27th, you might get lit up. Elgin Baylor, back when he was with us, if you were playing him on February 25th, you might get lit up. These are days where more than once you've scored 45 more points. They each have one day. Wilt Chamberlain, 16 different days. He's got 16 different days where he, on multiple times scored 45 or more points.
I mean, Wilt Chamberlain highlight videos are hilarious just to see. Like, it literally looks
crazy.
Like, it looks like the, it looks like an adult playing with like a sixth grade team.
All right.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The March to Spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.